All right, Fresh Life, this weekend in our Summer Fruit Series, we're going to be hearing from Raul Rodriguez, who is our campus pastor in Missoula. Raul, Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We want to get to know you a little bit. First of all, tell us about these people right here, these beautiful people right here.
Oh, look at them. Well, that's my daughter, Matiana, tallest one right there, okay. My beautiful wife, Michelle.
Wonder, we love Michelle.
Yeah, my three boys. The three amigos, Jonas, Anais down here, and Oscar.
And who is that convict who's, that's...
Oh, straight out of East LA.
Fantastic.
That's me.
Okay, Ro, how long have you been on staff at Fresh Life?
It'd be 3.5 years.
Okay, yeah. And we've loved having you. You and your wife are just fantastic.
Thank you.
Tell us this. What's your favorite sermon series we've ever done at the church?
Well, my favorite series is Creature of Habit. Because I think for me it was... I needed to hear some of the things that were causing me to kind of go in those ruts that I was in life, like those trigger things.
Sure.
But also, no matter what level I'm at, I can slow slice my way to success.
Hey.
So
fantastic.
Anywhere I'm at, I can always attack something every day.
Okay. Now, I've heard something about you falling asleep and someone discovering you sleeping in the campus.
Oh my gosh. This is such a funny story because literally, like, I was taking naps between the worship experience and our open group, which we had on Sunday nights, because at the time when we planted the campus, we were still living in Big Fork. So
okay.
We would drive down, church, and then we'd wait around for the open group.
Just a little time sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, you got a cat nap,
power
you just
nap.
Take it. Power nap.
Fantastic.
And so I'm sitting there sleeping, and my kids are playing video games, and in comes this lady. She's like, hey, I'm looking for the open group. And I'm kind of like, oh my
gosh. She's poking you with a stick.
Literally felt like she was.
Okay.
Like, excuse me.
Fantastic.
Excuse me. So.
Okay, tell me about this picture right here. Who's this?
Oh, that's my sister, Nina. She's fantastic.
Now, what is it I've heard about you taking her to high school football games with you?
Oh, man. I took her to every game.
Okay.
Like basketball.
And were your motives good or bad in taking
They were
her?
Bad because I say they were good.
It wasn't bonding time with sister so much.
Not so much. It was like I was kind of a ladies' man in high school, so I would use her as bait.
Okay.
In a sense, like to draw the ladies in. Because, I mean, look at her. She's so stinking cute.
Yes.
So that's how it worked out.
All right, now tell me about this movie. What comes to mind when you see this?
This was the first date that I took my wife Michelle on.
Very romantic choice.
Oh, well, that's us.
Okay.
That's us.
Okay.
Totally.
And how did things go that night?
Well, funny thing is here's this big Mexican dude driving in this red bug,
okay.
Volkswagen bug, to her house, and the car actually breaks down in her
driveway.
First date. First impression
and,
with the father-in-law.
And how did that go with you and her father-in-law?
Let's just say it was there for like 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
So it wasn't good.
He didn't forget about you though.
No.
There you go.
All
right, now let's talk about this hairstyle here, Raul.
Legit.
What's going on?
That's when I was actually starting to do cornrows and I was growing them to do dreads.
Okay.
Yeah. Because look, I mean, when you got it, flaunt it.
Are we going to bring this back?
I can't.
Okay.
I can't.
I wish I could.
That's
staying in the past. All right. Now tell us what fruit of the spirit are you going to be talking about today?
I'm going to be talking about love.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we are so excited to hear Fresh Life. Let's give it up for Raul Rodriguez from Fresh Life, Missoula. Come on, everybody. Let's go crazy for him.
If you are follically challenged, can I get an amen? Because if I could, I would grow that back out. I'm just saying. Hey, I'm so thankful that you're here this weekend. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Levi and Jenny and their leadership to this house and to Fresh Life. And not only just Fresh Life, but this country and this world that kind of looks at them and it uses them as an example how to lead their church and how to drive the culture and continue to spread the gospel all over the place. Amen. So I'm so thankful for them. Give them a round of applause. Say thank you. It's because of their leadership and this house and how much they love you is how much I have grown in my walk with the Lord. I love Jesus more. I love this house more. I love the church more. I love what we do here at Fresh Life because of their leadership and because of you. Because you bring an atmosphere of praise in this place. And I know it's hot in here. I might have to break out my preaching hanky here pretty soon. I might be sweating up here. We're going to get Southern Baptist. Is that all right with you? A little warm. Somebody tell the devil to turn down the heat, please. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about love. And let me ask you this question. As we get up every morning, every day, the things that we do, day in and day out, maybe it's something that you do for your job or something that you do for school or the things that you get ready for every day. What is the thing that motivates you? What is the thing that drives you? What is the thing that actually gets you out of bed? If you ask my wife, it's coffee. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. But seriously, what is it that motivates us to do what we do day in and day out? What are the things that drives us? And so I want to talk about a little bit about love in that sense, in that context. And I'm thinking, when I've been reading lately about drive, like reading books on champions or CEOs that have been successful, and I'm looking at what it takes for them to do what they do, the drive, the passion that they have to continue to do what they do. And I love this. I read about this. The theories of drive try to explain why people do the things they do, what makes one person more driven than the next to accomplish the same goal. Where does that drive come from? The drive theory, developed by Clark L. Hull, Yale University, Ivy League. So if Ivy League speaks, you listen. Not me. Listen to that. Who was an influential American psychologist who sought to explain learning and motivation by scientific laws of behavior. So he created this equation. So if you take notes in church, you want to get to heaven, that's a great way to do it. Take notes in church. Here's the first one. Drive times habit equals behavior. Again, drive times habit, for all you algebra nerds like me, drive times habit equals behavior. Meaning what we are motivated by and what we do on a regular basis will cause us to talk, walk, and act a certain way. See, drive theory looks at motivating us through the eyes of our biological needs. And I'm here to talk about the heart. The drive for what? Championships? Sorry, LeBron, that ship has sailed. Too soon, Cavalier fans? Too soon? Fame, getting swole, recognition, making that paper, or power? No. What I'm here to say is love. Love is the engine, the motivation that drives the follower of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The first of many that Paul talked about in Galatians. The gas to the fire, the nitrous to the soul. I'm calling this message, hold up, wait a minute, put a little love in it. Hold up, wait a minute, put a little love in it. If you don't know that song, ask your teenager to the left, to the right. You'll get it. I propose that we substitute love for drive into that equation. It will directly impact our behavior. So let's write this one down. Love times habit equals behavior. Love times habit equals behavior. If you have a Bible, please open it up to 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. We'll have the scriptures on the screens. And 1 Corinthians 13, when you're there, tell me I'm there. Tell me it's hot. Oh my gosh, are you guys alive? It's what? Fantastic. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but not have love, I gain nothing. Okay, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at all wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what Paul spoke to the Corinthians, because I believe it is exactly what we need to hear that will drive our behavior, drive what we do as Christians, and that we need to see the proper perspective of why we do what we do and what people will see in us as we spread the gospel in our cities. Lord, help us to hear your word. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh and anew this morning as we dive in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody said,
amen.
I love what Warren Wiersbe says about this scripture, this Bible passage. It says, few chapters in the Bible have suffered more of a misinterpretation and misapplication than these words in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, separated from its context, it becomes a hymn to love. Now, show of hands. Anybody use 1 Corinthians 13 in their wedding vows or their invitations? Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hand. A couple of you. I see like a two-year-old over there that's saying that. No, just joking. But listen, I did that too, but I also did it in Espanol. So it was like English and then Spanish version. But what happened was I really wasn't that good at interpretation at the time. I really didn't interpret it right. So when my uncle and my aunt came and read, they came from Mexico and they read the actual invitation or the letter, they were like, son, you jacked this up. That is not the right translation for it. That is not exactly what it says. And that was a little awkward. So what I'm saying here is, in this context of love, it's not this feel-good hymn to love like what Warren Wiersbe says. It's not a sentimental sermon on Christian brotherhood. What people fail to see is that Paul was still dealing with the Corinthians' problems when he wrote these words. The abuse of gift, selfishness, impatience with one another, and behavior that was disgracing of God. The only way we can use these spiritual gifts is by love. What is the reason we're using these gifts? Is it love or is it ourselves? The Greek word for love that Paul speaks of in this context is agape. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you know what agape is, but maybe you're here for the first time checking this thing out, checking what church is, or maybe the Christian life, what it is all about. But agape, by definition, is a giving nature and an unstoppable goodwill that always seeks the greatest in someone, no matter what he does. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return. It does not consider the worth of its object. This love is more of a love by choice, and it refers to the will rather than emotion. Agape describes the unconditional love that God has for the world, a divine love like this, for example, found in Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been, here's the great part, been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, his love has been poured into us and needs an avenue to be dispensed back out. And we must cultivate this fruit like here in Philippians 1:9. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. What is driving our behavior? What is motivating us to love? Let's look back at our summer fruit scripture, Galatians 5:22, as we kick this off. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So today, let us consider love to be the budding point from which all the other fruit come from. I believe Paul begins with this love because as of all the other fruit, it's an outgrowth of love. Now, how do we do this? How do we cultivate love? How do we grow in this? How do we use love as a motivator, as a drive to this city and beyond? Four things that we're going to talk about to cultivate the drive of and how to dispense the fruit of love. You ready for it? Four things. One thing leads to another. When we love, one thing leads to another. Now, I love reading books to my kids because we get crazy. Bedtime is amazing. We read stories that are just outrageous, and I use tons of accents. I'm not going to use an accent this morning. But I read this book to them. It's called If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. And there's also the Give a Pig a Pancake, Give a Moose a Muffin. It's an amazing book, but it is like my kids to a T. I mean, it is perfect. So I'm going to read this to you if you don't mind. We're going to read a book in church like this? Yeah, come on. If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk. When you give him milk, he'll probably ask for a straw. When he's finished, he'll ask for a napkin. Then he'll want to look in a mirror, hey, to make sure he doesn't have a milk mustache. When he looks in the mirror, he might notice his hair needs a trim. Not me. So he'll probably ask for a pair of scissors. When he's finished giving himself a trim, he'll want to borrow a broom to sweep up. He'll start sweeping. He might get carried away and sweep every room in the house. He may even end up washing the floors as well. When he's done, he'll probably want to take a nap. You'll have to fix up a box for him with a blanket and a pillow. He'll crawl in. Make himself comfortable and fluff the pillow, hello, a few times. He'll probably ask you to read him a story. So you'll read him one of your books, and he'll ask to see the pictures. When he looks at the pictures, he'll get so excited, he'll want to draw one of his own. He'll ask for paper and crayons. He'll draw a picture. When the picture is finished, he'll want to sign his name with a pen, no less. Then he'll want to hang the picture on the refrigerator, which means he'll need scotch tape. He'll hang up his drawing and stand back to look at it. And looking at the refrigerator will remind him that he is thirsty. So he'll ask for a glass of milk. And chances are if he asks for a glass of milk, he's going to want a what? A cookie to go with it. Now, when I read this, I think about my kids, and I think, like, as I'm reading this, I'm getting frustrated a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, more and more. Like, when I cook breakfast for my kids, it is a fiasco. I love to cook, but, and some of them love eggs, and some of them love something else, and some of them love something different. One likes cereal, one likes eggs, one like, but the crazy thing about it is, like, after I'm done and the kitchen is closed, can I get an amen? Hello. Somebody asks for waffles. Are you kidding me right now? Waffles. So you got to mix up waffles. And it's not just, I mean, there's some waffle mixtures that you could just put water in, but this is a particular one where you have to put eggs and milk and oil, and you got to mix it up. Got to get the griddle ready, all that kind of stuff. And it just doesn't take a snap. It takes forever. Ever to get this thing out. You got to actually find the griddle. I don't know where it is inside the cabinet. Moms, right? Where do your kids put it? I have no idea. So you get them to go on a trek to find it, make the waffles, and then they want syrup, a particular kind of syrup, might I add. Then they want butter, and then they want that whipped cream. If you don't have the whipped cream from Costco, the ones in the can, they will beat you. I'm serious. If you don't have it, we're not doing waffles. We're done. But then they do the thing where you can't even see the actual waffle because it looks like shaving cream on a balloon. I mean, it's like, where is the stinking waffle, kid? You just emptied out that one can on that waffle. But it is. It's like over and over. Summer fruit series, right? We told my son, Anais, that this is the summer fruit series. He's like, I don't want to go. I'm like, well, why? He does not like fruit at all. If you touch an apple, you cannot touch him. You have to wash your hands. Hell, kind of scary, right? So if you go to hug him, he's like, no. You'll put a plate down of fruit on the table or a salad, he'll move to the other side of the table. This is how particular he is. So he gets syrup on his hands. And you can't just wipe it off with paper towels, right? You have to go and get a towel wet to wash his hands or he will freak out. And the table, when it's all done, is so sticky that you sit down at the table to have your breakfast when you finally get to it and your shirt is stuck to the table. But why do we do that? We do that because we love them. We want to take care of them. We serve our kids. Even though it's sometimes as a parent, it's frustrating. It's like, oh, you just be quiet and go to the corner for a moment so I can have a moment of peace. Maybe you need that 5 seconds of peace, please. but we do it because we love them. And in the context of love and loving our neighbor, this is what we do. We know there are people that will need more of us, will need more of our time, more of our resources, but we continue to give. In the context of love, Christians, we give and we give and we give and we continue to give and we give some more because we can't stop. That's part of our nature is giving. We are givers. As Christians, we give of our possessions, we give of our money. We're open-handed with the things that we've been giving because we give right back. We've been given so much. We must be givers. The love which the Holy Spirit produces in the believer is sacrificial. The love is not a feeling, but a choice, and a choice to be patient, to be kind, to sacrifice, to consider another's needs greater than one's own. That's tough. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and, I love this part, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. See, my father, he's 5'3", maybe 5' something, 100 something, 125 maybe. I didn't get that gene, okay? I did not get that at all. But my dad was such a hard worker. Cool story, my dad's been deported several times, back and forth from Mexico to the United States. He's a U.S. citizen, God bless America. But he knew what hard work was. I mean, for him to come back and try to be more of something in the United States, he moved here and he was in the irrigation fields and he was a farmhand and he was a farm manager and then he worked in the steel industry for many, many years. And I just remember, I think about how much of a giver my dad is and how much that has rubbed off on all of us and the giving spirit that he has. See, we didn't grow up with a whole lot of money. And as a matter of fact, there's times where I remember where we were in a GMC Gremlin living from place to place. And so what it is like, I just realized how much my dad gave. See, he would recognize people that were in need and he would give of his resources. He used tools in his job all the time, but there was people that needed tools. Like he had a big heart for people who have moved over from Mexico or just knew that they were not doing good, and he would actually give his tools away, give money, give food. And I remember he gave a car away. I was like, are you kidding me? That's the only car we have. And he would give it away because that's the giving nature that he has. And it's so amazing to kind of see that. But me, as a young kid, I would say, Dad, why are you doing that? You're not going to get that back. You're never going to see that. And he would just say, mijo, they needed it more than we did. They are in need. We're not. If it could help them, then it can help them. It's just sitting in my garage. And if they can use it, they can use it. But Dad, you're never going to get it back. Never was mine in the first place. And that's where we, as believers, need to have that mentality of it's open-handed for everything that we have, giving, because that's what people see in the Christian, in the believer. They will be able to see that fruit by how we give. And I love that about my dad. And it's just amazing to be able to have the resource, even if you have a little bit of resource, be able to give it back. And to think about, you know, there's times where we give and we give and we give. And obviously you have to have discernment. We're snake birds. We have to find out the motives behind it. We don't get taken advantage of course. But even if you get taken advantage of, turn the other cheek. It's just given and to give, right? We give of our money, give of our possessions, and we are open-handed. Number two, when we love, it's suitable for all audiences. So a movie theater in Ohio had a mishap I think it was a couple weeks ago, and I was reading about this, and it's so incredible. Like, you guys will freak out when you hear this, but let me read this. During what was supposed to be a showing of Inside Out, by the way, that's a really good movie. I would check it out. Even if you don't have kids, it's fantastic. An Ohio movie theater accidentally played Insidious Chapter 3. Yeah. Crazy. Causing terrified parents and children to flee the theater. This isn't even it. Like, this is, there's more. Hold up, there's more. Following the previews, rather than seeing the opening to Pixar's latest animated movie, moviegoers were treated to images of children being tied up and murdered. One of the parents at the theater told Journal News, Moore says, after being terrified by the opening sights and sounds of Insidious, Chapter 3, the children were all scooped up and rushed out of the theater. The mishap was the result of a simple mix-up by an employee in the projection booth, according to the theater's manager. Attendees were given a free movie pass, in addition to a free upgrade to a 3D showing of Inside Out. However, Moore says the reimbursement hasn't helped ease her children's fears. I got our money back, but the damage is already done. My children are terrified and keep asking questions. Let's be honest. A lot of people are scarred from their past experiences with Christians. What are they seeing? What is the movie that they're seeing played out in their lives? What are the previews for them? What actions are they seeing from our lives? Are they being served and loved like they so desire? Love and service is a marker of our life in Christ. That's what we do. It's not just what we do, but it's who we are. We walk the walk before we talk the talk. Actions are louder than words. 1 John 3:18 says, Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth in our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. You remember that commercial with Coke and Pepsi guy in the diner? I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but they had these amazing commercials where they would have the Pepsi guy and the Coke guy delivery drivers in the diner where they're kind of just having lunch, and the Pepsi guy would actually slide his Pepsi can over to the Coke guy and try to get that guy to drink some of his product, and the Coke guy would look around and go, okay, nobody's watching. I'm going to take a taste of this. And he would actually drink it and be like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Fantastic. And then the Coke guy would take the Coke over to the Pepsi guy and say, take a drink. And the Pepsi guy would be like, nah, bro, that's not going to happen. And they would sit there and fight and fight and fight. Well, it is so serious when it comes to branding. And when I worked for Coca-Cola for about 5 years before I moved back to the Flathead Valley, it was ridiculous. We had Coke socks. We had Coke pants. We had Coke shirt, Coke underwear. No, we don't. No, we didn't. But here's the thing. We had everything that had Coke written on it. I couldn't even go to Taco John's or Taco Bell because they sold Pepsi. I couldn't even eat at places that sold Pepsi. Let me put it in this way. If you work for Ford, you wouldn't go out and buy a Chevy, correct? You wouldn't do that. If you did, you'd probably get fired because that's your livelihood. That's what brings home the bacon. I had you at bacon, didn't I? I had a lot. You guys were like, oh, bacon? He said, talking about bacon. But that's what you're branded by. As far as us, serving in love is what we're branded by. Serving in love is what we are identified by. And that's what we need to be. That's what we sell. Serving in love is what we sell. It is as advertised. As we love and serve one another, serve the world, it's how they view Christ. If we were to sell anything else, we'd be sounding brass or clanging cymbal, loud and obnoxious. We must be humble, joyful servants. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, if we are reading God's word and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and we're resting in his presence, speaking to him daily through prayer, soaking in his grace, loving one another, serving one another, if that's the equation, our life will be filled with abundance of joy and love and service. You see, we rejoice with the truth and then we pour out and dispense love. We can't help fix broken people with our opinions, guys. We can't. We help fix broken people with a serving love. We get down in the dirt and wash feet like Jesus. Our hands have to get dirty. It's a messy grace. People far from God are not interested in how much you know about Jesus, but how much you love Jesus. Because when we are identified by our service and love, we won't need to give our opinion. Number three, when we love, it's like an all-access pass. I love going to concerts and you have an all-access pass and you're like flashing that like it's a badge. What's up? Free access to every, especially in a room like this where it's so stinking hot, the green room is really nice and cold. AC for days, baby. So there's the ability to have access to every part of the venue. You don't even have to wait in line. It's so fantastic. We have easy access to everything when we have an all-access pass. You have the ability to go and roam wherever you want. It's the freedom. It's the easy, accessible things. I want to talk to you a little bit about this concept of low-hanging fruit. You ever heard that before? Low-hanging fruit is basically targets and goals for people that are easily attainable. Like, if you were in business, what they would try to do is give you something easy to sell. If you're on commission, they would give you something so that you can actually sell it quickly so that you can build confidence and then you could sell something bigger and keep growing and growing and growing. This is a way to bring revenue in to the business, even though it's not something you're identified by. Well, let's say Costco. Like if you work at, go to Costco, they sell all types of stuff like paddle boards to TVs to patio furniture to... Heck, I think you can buy a car at Costco. But what is it that you go in to buy almost every week? Toilet paper. Toothpaste. Soap. If you're not, dang. But that's what we do. That's low-hanging fruit. Stuff that creates revenue quickly and easily attainable. Easily sold stuff. Well, this is what we need to do when we love. We need people to access love easily, attainable, reachable goals on how to live life in Christ. Matthew 12:33. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. That I think that's a great equation. Just saying. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. You see, whether you're new in Christ or you're a seasoned saint, God can produce fruit through us at any time, at any place. What we cultivate, even at the seed to the growing of the fruit, will dictate what people pick off the tree. Okay, so here's my equation. Okay, science dude, sciencey guy, Yale University versus Raul. Time times grace times space equals yield. Time times grace times space equals yield. See, my father-in-law has an orchard, and all year round, sun up to sundown, goes out and sprays the trees, prunes the trees, digs irrigation, makes sure that it's watered, makes sure that, you know, the yield is going to be amazing during the summer. Like, he works nonstop to make sure that his yield in the summer is fantastic. And that's the only time that it's going to happen is the yield in the summertime. But the work doesn't stop. The yield happens in the summertime, but the work happens all year round. You see, we need to work on our lives, the love in our hearts, so that when the time comes to yield the fruit, that we do it well. It's low-hanging fruit to a world that needs it. What did Jesus say? Love God, then love people, the greatest of the commandments. He was like, no, that's all that stuff's hard. It's difficult. You have to go up and reach the top of the trees. Love God and love people. We want to make love and grace easily, so when they go to the tree, like I did a few months back or a few weeks ago, I had a basket and I was like, bam, 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 bam. I didn't even have to reach tall. I didn't have to get on the ladder. I was just basically slapping the trees into the cherries into my basket. It's so easily attainable, easily reachable. My kids don't even have to get on ladders as well. They can just kind of pick the fruit. And that's what we need to be in grace and love, is low-hanging fruit. How do we do this? You're asking me, Raul, give me some examples. Well, time. Time is important. Time is money. That's why we clock in and clock out. That's why we have a set amount of hours, dollars to hours when we go to our jobs or whatever we do. It's time. Time is money. But in the context of love, the time we spend with people is an investment that multiplies our time exponentially. Everybody deserves our time. It's the most valuable commodity. It's today's economy. That's why we try to multiply ourselves so that we can buy back our time. We go to a job that has more money so that we can actually have more time with our family, more time to do stuff at the lake, which today would be a fantastic day to do that. But more time, that's why we do what we do. Write this down. Time equals love. Time equals love. See, we must create room for him in our hearts, like we just heard about, pour into us, reading his word, and then room for others in our lives. Create margins for divine interruptions. You can't dispense love unless you make space for his grace. Let me say that again. You can't dispense love unless you make space for his grace. See, we need to spend time with people because Jesus did a whole lot of that. He said, Zacchaeus, let's go to your house today. Guys, come on over. I'm cooking some fish for you for breakfast. Woman, give me a drink of water. Come on, let the little children come to me. Let me wash those nasty feet. He spent a lot of time with people. He was the greatest example of time well spent. We must hang out with the hurting. We must mentor some kids. Here's some examples. Go to your friend's house. Let's look up from our phones. Let's make phone calls, actual telephone calls. That's what they originally were made for, right? How good is it to hear somebody else's voice on the other line? It's so good. That's time. That's what it is. Let's write letters and send cards. I don't know what those are, but we should do that. Like, how fantastic is to get a handwritten letter in the mail? Because you know they spent time writing that to you. And not this computer-generated, I'm going to send you an email. I'm saying you lick the stamp, you lick the envelope because it's nasty, and you put that letter inside there, and you send it to somebody. Well, I don't know their address. Call them on the telephone. Get their address. These are just some examples. Have a cup of coffee on a porch and maybe, just maybe, listen. Ask a neighbor over or your coworker. If we only have Christian friends, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. Open up your circle of friends. Let's be generous and exhaust our time with the ones that need hope, the ones who need to see the tangible fruit of love. Let's not be so time broke that we don't have time to spend with people. I know life is busy, but giving people time is measurable But in the context of love, it's immeasurable. And four, last, I'm going to call the band up to slide into home on this one. Four, when we love, it's on the house. Some of the greatest words you can ever hear at a restaurant is, it's on the house. Because you're like, dang, I should have got another dessert. I should have got another drink. Hey, give me another rack of ribs, right? When you know that the bill is paid, how awesome is that? How amazing is the freedom in that? Hey, I got four kids. Would you mind putting them on the bill as well? You know, it's on the house is amazing. But we must be accepting because of how much we are accepted. 1 Timothy 1:14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. A lot of people throwing their political hats in the ring right now, and we're going to hear a lot about that for the next year. But what are they trying to do? They're trying to get your approval. They want to go to the next level. They're trying to get your approval. But in Christ Jesus, let me just tell you this. For those of you who maybe have never heard this before, your approval rating in Christ is 100%. It keeps no records of wrong. That's what God sees when he sees Jesus in us. Let us see that in others. Let us see the deliverance that they can have, the freedom that they can have in Christ Jesus. It was given to us, now we give it to others. We accept it because they are accepted. They have been offered a free gift, but they haven't received it yet. How amazing is that? Our family code, we have a Rodriguez family code, and one of them is we are unoffendable. We're not shocked. And living in Missoula, there's a lot of shocking things, for sure. But we're not. We're not aghast when things are not exactly what we agree upon, or things are crazy, and people have issues, and life is crazy. We don't. We love. We don't hoard grace. We're not. We dispense grace. We forgive our debtors because we've been forgiven of our debts. Let us not keep a record of wrongdoings when we see people. Set yourself free to love because he first loved us. Don't hold that burden any longer. There is freedom in forgiveness. Forgiveness is free. It's a freedom to love, be loved, and to give love. It is on the house. The debt was paid. Go out and get some blessing. Forgive people. Without love, we are bankrupt. With love, we're in the black and it's all profit, baby. So good. Love is the primer. Love is the fuel. And love is what drives our behavior, our life, and everything we do to spread the gospel. Love is what drives us. And without love, we're making tons of noise. But with love, it's a symphony. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Help us to love our cities. Help us to spend time. Help us to give grace, dispense grace. Give us time to love on our neighbor in need. Help us to spread the gospel through this fruit of love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Wow, that was incredible. Such good truth. We just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us online.
If at any point you made a decision to follow Christ during that teaching, first of all, congratulations. And second, we would love to know about it. You can click the Know God button. It's going to pull up a form. We're not going to send you any junk mail or Tupperware or anything like that. But we would love to send you some helpful resources in walking with God. It's going to include a Bible, a letter from Pastor Levi, and a few other things as well.
And let's be honest, everybody's got a story.
you have one. And on this website, on the bottom of the page, there's a little button that says share your story. You can use that as a way to just tell us about how God has used the ministry of Fresh Life to impact your life. Those stories are like lifeblood for our staff, for our team, for everybody, because it just shows how God is using everything that we're doing, everything that he's doing through this church to impact people's lives. In the same light, yeah. If you wanted to support the ministry through giving, you can do that as well. At the top of the website, there's a button that says give. You can support financially the work that God is doing through the church.
Hey, thanks again for watching. We hope to see you back here next weekend.